it's good to see everyone this morning, and 65 degrees on the outside, nice morning this morning, and it's good to have everyone this morning, and hope and trust you've had a good week. Everybody had a good week? Good week. I hadn't had a good week, so I just want to hear about a good week, but no, I'm just joking with you. Let's see, Ryan left this morning to go to college. Daniel received his driver's license this week, and I turned 50, so that's my week. So, they decided they loved me so much, they told me that my insurance would go up another $1,000, and blessings of a week. All right. Anybody had a blessing this week? Something you want to share, maybe? Anybody? Yes, ma'am. Grandchildren came in to visit and stay a while. They're from Rockford, Illinois. How far is it from here? It's not too awfully bad.
About 7 hours.
7 hours, a little further than I would have thought, maybe. Anybody else? Maybe a blessing from the week? Anybody? Y'all talking about how good your week's been? Tell me about it. North Carolina. Sure. All right. I understand that. All right. Good. How far of a drive is it for her to where she's at, North Carolina?
It takes about 13.5 hours, 850 miles.
Wow, good drive, long drive. Okay, we'll do this. Just if you have your Bibles, just go ahead and we'll open those up and we'll pray and we'll get into our lesson this morning. We're in Isaiah, and we're going to cover a chapter. My lesson tells me I need to cover chapter 56, chapter 57, and chapter 58. And we are going to make an attempt to do that. Of course, in doing that, I can't read all the verses and go verse by verse and discuss each verse, but we will kind of take a few verses from chapter 56 to get us started. But primarily, we are going to look at chapter number 58 this morning and look at something. And I think as we get into the lesson this morning, you would agree with me that a lot of the problems that Isaiah was having to face in his time is something that you'll see very, very prevalent in our day and age as well, and we'll get into that. But let's pray first and ask for God's blessings upon our day today, and let's do that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do love you. We thank you, Lord, for the time that we do have, that we come together. And Lord, we pray for your blessings upon the hour. We pray that you would meet with us. We pray that you would teach us, that you would guide, lead, and direct in all that's said and done. And then, God, we also pray for our service this morning and the evening service tonight. We ask once again for your blessing. God, we need your blessing. We need your power. We need your presence this morning. And we need it also tonight. We pray that you would speak to us. We pray that you would, Lord, have your will and your way in our services this morning and the services tonight as well. We just pray for your blessings once again. God, we do pray for those that are sick this morning. Lord, those that are in need of an answer to prayer. We just pray that you would meet the needs of your people this morning. And God, as once again, we do pray for your will to be done, and we pray in your will to be done in the life of those this morning. We do pray, Lord, for those that are lost this morning that need to be saved. May we always be very aware this morning, and not only today, but throughout this week that lies ahead, that there are people, Lord, that need you. They need salvation. There may be some that are saved, but maybe away from you, and they need to come back to you. We pray that you would, Lord, use us this week to be a good testimony, once again, a good witness, a good example to others that we're around, that we can have an influence maybe in their life for good. We pray, Lord, for our nation once again. We are in need of spiritual revival. We ask once again for that. We pray that you would help us to do our part. We pray that you help us to realize that, Lord, revival starts with us. And God, I pray that you would grant that this morning as well. We do pray for our missionaries and how special they are, how important they are to the ministry. Lord, not only here, but around the world, and how important they are to the cause of Christ. We pray that you would supply their needs yet once again, that maybe there's a missionary that is in need of some more financial help. We pray that you would supply that. There maybe are some that needs, maybe physical healing in their life. We pray that you would grant that. We pray that you also give them fruit through their labors as they serve you around the world. And we pray that you would supply those needs that they have in the ministry. We pray that you bless their families and that you'll do a great work through them this week. We pray, Lord, that you bless the upcoming school year, Lord. I think it's a little bit over a week remaining before school starts back here, but we pray that you help as they prepare for that, that you would help supply the needs there, and that everything will go well for a new year of school as it begins. We pray for your blessings upon that as well. We pray that you bless the next few moments that we have together as we study your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, Isaiah chapter 56, chapter 57, and chapter number 58 this morning. We'll look at a few verses beginning in chapter 56, and then we're going to go to chapter 58, and we'll spend most of our time there. I'm not going to read as much from some of the verses in the chapters. We'll just kind of give the highlights of what is taking place here. But in chapter 56, chapter 57, and chapter 58, you're going to find that Isaiah, being the called man of God, delivering the message from God to the people of God, and in this message, God is unhappy with them, and he is unhappy with the people of God, not because of their sinful lifestyle, even though they have become a very sinful people, but he's upset with them based on their worship and what they had done to the worship that they used to provide between them and God. Now, nothing has changed there. Worship unto God is still very special to God this morning. And you're going to find that as we read through these chapters that they have misused the worship of God. They had misused it in many ways, usually to their own advantage. They had drifted away from God. They were doing some very ungodly practices in their life, but yet they were also claiming to be religious, and they tried to twist religion to okay their sinful lifestyle. Now, nothing has changed. People do that all the time. We find that very prevalent in our day and age as well, that people are no different today. People want to live their same old sinful lifestyles, but yet go to church and feel like everything's okay. And that's not the way it was ever meant to be. A true worship of God will actually reveal unto you how ungodly you really are. The closer you get to God, you're going to find that the more dirty you'll find yourself looking. You know, if you can honestly tell yourself that you can honestly worship God and come into the presence of God in your personal life and never feel dirty, I've got news for you. You may have spent time with someone, but it wasn't God. Because the more that I spend time with God, the more undone that I find myself, the more sinful that I find myself, the more lacking that I find myself. And that's not a bad thing. That's actually a good thing. I mentioned last week, conviction is not a bad thing. Conviction is actually a very good thing. But in these chapters here, Isaiah is having to confront the people of God and basically tell them, you're sinful, you're wrong, you are rebellious, you are ungodly, your worship sickens God. And as even we mentioned last week, and I believe it to be true today, I don't know what makes God more unhappy. And we don't know the mind of God this morning, but I'm just assuming this morning as God looks down from heaven, often he's not real happy with the way things look on planet Earth. But as I mentioned a few weeks ago, I don't know. I don't know if God is more upset with the sin of the world as much as he is the sin of the people of God and how they worship him. Worship's a wonderful thing, and it's a Bible lesson that we could extend out for months, if you would, about what is worship. We hear a lot about worship. Churches will advertise their worship styles, and we're going to get to that in here in just a few moments. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that, but that is a big advertisement that people will put out there about their style of worship. Some people claim to be traditional, and there are going to be some that claim to be contemporary, and then there's going to be some that meet you halfway, and they call it a blended service. That means that they have both. They have the traditional type of worship, but yet they blend it with a contemporary worship, so that makes everybody happy. Now, the problem with that is this morning, we shouldn't come to the house of God to make ourselves happy. We ought to come to make God happy. Here's where churches are completely backwards, off, wrong, sinful this morning. They're trying to create a worship atmosphere for whatever they call their worship style to please the people of the congregation. You know, I didn't know that we were coming this morning to try to please the congregation. I thought we came this morning, we're trying to please God. So what is it going to make God happy? Is it this style or that style or in the middle or what is it? What is it that God wants? What is it that God desires when it comes to a combination of an assembly of people that come together in a purpose of worshiping Him? What is it that God wants? But you're going to find in these three chapters, there is a way or a style of worship that makes God sickened. It upsets God. And in these three chapters, you're going to find that they had gotten away from true and worship unto God as they had performed in times past. But let's get into chapter 56 here, and we'll just read a couple of verses, and then I'm going to skip over, I think, chapter 57 and go straight to chapter 58. But in Isaiah chapter 56, verse number 1, thus saith the Lord. And whatever he says, it doesn't matter what you feel about it, how you view it, or what you think about it. When God says it, it's truth. Would you agree to that? Because you can't debate when it says, thus saith the Lord. Boy, we need a whole lot of thus saying the Lord once again in our land. We got a whole lot taking place this morning, but not a whole lot of thus saith the Lord anymore. We got way too much religion out there without God. Whole lot of religion, but very little thus saith the Lord. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. If we begin here in chapter 56, it says here, thus saith the Lord. And guess what? Isaiah is the one going to tell them, here's what God says. And you know what? They don't like what God says. They get mad. They are offended. They are upset because, you know what? God doesn't agree with what they're doing. So he says, thus saith the Lord, keep ye judgment and do justice, for my salvation is near to come and my righteousness to be revealed. Now, one of the great things, and I'll just throw this in here real quickly, there is a remnant of people that do right. There is a remnant of people that please God. There is a remnant, a small, small remnant of people that are very purposed in life of wanting to make God happy, to please God. But yet the majority wasn't worried about pleasing God. They were more worried about pleasing themselves and the congregation, if you would. So there's a conflict that takes place here. And he says, my salvation is near to come, verse number 1, and my righteousness to be revealed. Even though they do go through judgment, there is a better day on the horizon that God is going to save them. Verse number 2, blessed is the man that doeth this. So it says here, if you want blessings, then you obey verse number 1. It says, blessed in verse number 2 is the man that doeth this, and the Son of Man that layeth hold to it, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it. Some of them had misused the Sabbath day. But yet they twisted it in a way that justified why they were doing what they were doing. He goes on and says at the end of verse number 2, and keeping his hand from doing any evil. So we get into chapter 56 here. You're going to find that God is upset with the people of God because they have drifted away into a different type of worship that really wasn't worship at all unto God. It was just a service, a feel-good service that just tried to make everybody feel good about their sinful lifestyle so that they can continue doing their sinful ways of life but yet feel like they're okay in the eyes of God. But God wanted to make sure that they understood that He is not happy with them. You'll find in chapter 56, you'll find some of the problems that they were having in verse number 10. His watchmen are blind. Now, when the watchman is blind, there is no value to him. Now, watchman was one. A watchman, who is a watchman? A watchman was someone that would watch out for the well-being of the people. He would alert the people if he was on the wall around the city. Every city was walled and had a protection device put up, and there were watchmen on top of the wall, and they would watch out on the horizon to make sure that there wasn't an enemy about to attack them. and had many purposes, but a watchman was there for the welfare of the people. The people could actually feel safe inside that city because there were watchmen that were watching out for them. But listen, spiritually speaking, when the watchman is blind, he can't see when the attacks are coming. He doesn't know when the enemy is about to infiltrate them. He doesn't know when the enemy is overtaking them. Why? He's blind. And Isaiah is even saying in this chapter here, one of the greatest problems in society in that day was when it came to religion, if you would, those that were to be watching out for them spiritually was blind. And I'd venture to say this morning, one of the greatest damaging things we have in America this morning is we got a whole lot of religion with a whole lot of blind people watching out. Do we understand and realize the dangers that we live in spiritually today? But he goes on. We'll try to get past a few verses here. But look at verse number 10. Here's some of the problems they had. His watchmen are blind. They are all, what's the next word? They're ignorant. They're spiritually ignorant. They're spiritually blind. Now, when you have a leader in a religious sect, if you would, of society, and he is blind and he is ignorant, you got problems. Because they were blind and because they were ignorant to spiritual things, you're going to find that truth is cast to the side and they start teaching and practicing falsehood. Have you ever heard that you know, if you tell a lie long enough, you'll what? You'll believe it. And there were actually people that were religious and believed a lie. And they believed a lie because they were being taught lies. You know, we know this morning, we'll make statements all the time about truth. We know this morning that truth is truth. But who decides what truth is? God's the only one that can decide what truth is. You see, this morning, truth is not a matter of opinion this morning. But boy, you've got a lot of religious sects in our own country this morning that basically look at truth as a matter of opinion. You ever heard people say, well, that's just your opinion? And in a lot of ways of life, it may be our opinion, but when it comes to the Word of God, that's not an opinion. That's truth, dear friend. And let me say this, you know, things are not true because we like them, and they're not false because we don't like them. Truth is truth this morning. But they didn't want truth. They weren't getting truth. The watchman was blind, as we find here in verse number 10. They were all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving the slumber. And when that takes place, you're always going to find this is, here's what's always going to happen. Sin will always come in and overtake. You see, when the watchman is blind, when spiritual leaders are ignorant, they're dumb. I didn't write it, but Isaiah says they're like dumb dogs. They're no good. They have no value. In fact, he says here, they're just like a dumb dog. They cannot bark. And what good is a guard dog if he can't bark? He says not only that, he says in verse number 10, that they're always sleeping. They're always lying down, loving to slumber, and they are not protecting the welfare of the people. When that happened, falsehood came in. Truth is now cast aside. We're all living a dream. They're living in a fantasy land. They're living in their sinful lifestyles, and they become very wicked. In fact, some of the things that they were involved even in child sacrifice in some cases. And everybody thought, this is okay. Why? Because somebody was up there teaching them that everything's okay. You'll find also in verse number 11, yea, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough. They are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look their own way, everyone for his gain from his quarter. And boy, that little phrase there, they look to their own way. Boy, that's what society's doing today. People don't care anymore what the Bible says anymore. People are not worried about what is truth anymore. People today, they want to go somewhere that they feel like their conscience is soothed a little bit because somebody told them they're a real good person, even though they live like the devil himself all week, but it doesn't matter. They feel good about it. You know, isn't it amazing? Everybody wants to feel good about themselves. And by the way, we're the same way in a lot of ways. But there are times in life we don't need to feel good about ourselves. Now Isaiah is called on by God, and now Isaiah is going to have to confront them and tell them of their wicked ways. So we find here, I'm going to skip over chapter 57, and we get to chapter 58. Now I'm not going to read a lot of verses this morning, but I want to just kind of discuss maybe a few things with you. Verse number one is very important verse here because God tells Isaiah to do what? First two words are what? Cry aloud. You see, God needed somebody, and that somebody ends up being Isaiah, that would go to the people of God and confront them, and he says right off the bat, cry aloud. The next two words are what? Spare not. Do you know what that means this morning? It means don't hold anything back. You don't water it down. You don't try to smooth it over. You don't try to pour sugar on the message here. You cry aloud, and you spare not. We could just stop right there, and we could teach a whole lesson. We could get into some deep water here if you want to, because one of the most lacking things in America this morning are those four words right there. And I'm going to be honest with you. The people don't want to hear it. And I'm talking about in Isaiah's day, and I don't think they want to hear it today either. We're so politically correct this morning, it makes me sick. Everybody's afraid they're going to say something that's going to offend someone. I don't think we should live our life trying to offend people, but if the truth of the Word of God offends you, dear friend, it ought to offend you. If the truth of the Word of God, or if there's something in the Word of God that rubs me the wrong way, then I need to be rubbed the wrong way this morning. But let's be honest. The average church this morning is not interested in the book that you hold in your lap. I'm going to be honest with you. The average church this morning, the number one issue that they are more concerned about than anything else is how much money do we have? And if we preach such and such and such and such, we might lose somebody. And when you lose somebody, it always happens this way. It's always happened this way in my life. When somebody leaves, they always take their pocketbook with them. We are so distorted in religion today, we're more worried about how big we are or how big we need to be and so forth. We're more worried about that than worried about does what we're doing please God. And God tells Isaiah, it's time. In chapter 58, it's time. It's time to get down to business. God says, I'm fed up with it. I'm tired of their worship. I'm tired of their twisting of the truth, or not even twisting anymore. They've cast the truth out long ago. Nobody cares. The watchman, he doesn't watch. The dog doesn't bark. And all these different illustrations that he's using here, that anything goes and everything goes, and now they've drifted off into a worship style that you wouldn't even notice it to be worship like it used to be. Does it not ring a bell today? And Isaiah, in chapter 58, is going to deal with the right kind of worship. We could have a lesson. What is worship? Is worship something we do in public, or is it something we do in private? Is it a matter of a combination of people coming together? Is that worship, or is it something that you do as an individual? And I'm not going to dive off into that this morning. But I do know this morning that I have, and I'm just speaking for my own self, and I think you would have to agree with me, the more I worship God and the more close that I get to God, the more ungodly I see myself. But it wasn't true with them. They weren't convicted. They didn't feel convicted about what they were doing. They didn't think what they were doing was wrong. There were people now that grew up in that style of worship that felt like everything, this is the norm, this is what we do, this is what makes God happy, and nothing that they were doing was making God happy. God's upset. To be honest with you, God is mad. God's going to go further than that. God's going to judge them because of their worship. You see, I mentioned a few weeks ago, and the more that I've studied, even through the book of Isaiah and getting prepared for Sunday at this time, the more that I read through the book of Isaiah, the more that it makes me realize how upset God is, not at the sinful, ungodly, lost people of the world. He's upset because of the people of God and their lack of worship. See, if I've always kind of had it in my mind and viewed in my mind, God's going to judge this world because of all the sinful, ungodly people out there that don't know God, that hate God, that are doing ungodly things. But now I'm kind of to the point where I'm more, a little more concerned about maybe God's more upset with what the house of God is doing. You see, this morning, judgment is, I think everybody would agree this morning, judgment is going to come to our land sooner or later if it's not already here. And I've always kind of pointed a finger at the world. But I don't think God's going to send judgment because of the world. I think God's going to send judgment because of what is or is not taking place with the people of God in the house of God. Come on, let's be honest this morning. You couldn't find half the congregation, the membership of this church. The FBI couldn't find them. I don't know how many it would even be considered on the church roll. And I don't even like that word anymore. But I guarantee you over the, how old is the church here? Is it 35? 40, 45 years old. In 45 years, there's been a whole lot of people come and go, and I promise you, you couldn't find most of them. Let me tell you why God's probably upset this morning. It's not what the drug addict's doing down the road. It's what's happening here. Now, I want to remind you this morning in chapter 56, 57, and 58, God's not, he's not dealing with the lost world. He's dealing with the people of God. And he says in verse chapter 58, it starts off, I mean, he starts off with a bang here. Cry loud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a what? Like a trumpet. Now, everybody's heard a trumpet. Trumpet is not some soft, low-keyed instrument. It is a very loud, high-pitched, very... If we were to close our eyes and somebody got up here and played the flute, the saxophone, and the trumpet, would you be able to tell the difference in the three? Sure you could. Why? Because each one has a very distinct sound. And in the illustration, and there's a lot, it's a whole lesson on itself of why that God chooses to use the illustration or an instrument called the trumpet here. A trumpet was used for many different things, and I'm not going to go off into that this morning, but a trumpet was a very loud, piercing, distinct sounding instrument. And when you get to the preaching of the Word of God, may I say this morning, it is very loud, it is very distinct, and it is very plain. He says in verse number 1, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people. You ought to underline my people. He's not talking about lost people. He's not talking about the sinful, lost, ungodly, God-hating world out there. He said, my people. He says, show, verse number 1, my people, their, what's the next word? Transgression. You see, God comes to Isaiah and says, Isaiah, I got a job for you. And you, if you read through, you're going to find out. They're not going to like what's going to be said. So Isaiah, you need to go ahead and get it in your mind. You're going to have a message, and you go ahead, you need to understand when you deliver it, you're not going to be voted number one pastor in the world. You're not going to be voted most liked. Because they're going to hate you, They're going to hate the message, and they're not going to like what I'm going to tell them. Nobody likes to be told of their transgressions. It goes on. And the house of Jacob, there, what's that last little word? Sins. That's the whole problem in the first place. See, the problem is sin. The problem is they've transgressed the laws of God. The problem they have is that they have distorted the worship of God. And Isaiah, I need you to not be soft-spoken, to not sugarcoat it. Don't beat around the bush. All I need you to do, Isaiah, is to deliver the message. Now, it's pretty interesting here. God even dictates the style that he wants it delivered in. He says in verse number 1, cry aloud. Spare not. Don't hold anything back. You don't sugarcoat it. You don't beat around the bush. You don't try to make it humorous in any kind of way. You just deliver the message, and you deliver it like a trumpet. And you show them. Do you see that little word, show? He says in verse number 1, and show my people their transgression. You know, sometimes you just have to lay it out black and white, just plain as day. That's what people need. You know, I don't think we could all come up with what we think the solution is for mankind this morning. We'd have a lot of good ideas, but I'll be honest with you, I don't know all the answers to all the problems of this world. I just know this morning that God has all the answers. That's my answer this morning. But I'm afraid that we of today and churches of today, and we're going to get to this in just a moment about churches of today and so forth, but I am so afraid this morning that we have gotten away from just telling people, this is the way it is. I mean, it's black and white. It's night and day. I mean, it's very plain. Here's what God expects. Here's what God says. Here's what you are to do. And God says to Isaiah, I want you to show them. Not just tell them, show them. You make it to where when we're all said and done, they have no doubt of where I stand. Have you ever heard sometimes people, maybe religious speakers or preachers or whatever the case may be, and they talk for an hour and you walk away and you think, you know, I don't really know where that person stands. You know, we don't need that. People need to know the truth of the Word of God. And not everybody's going to like it. I promise you this, you preach the truth of the Word of God that you hold in your lap and you publicize it publicly, you're going to... I promise you this, just go... Everybody's on the internet and Facebook and social media and so forth. Just go on there and start preaching. You'll find out there's a whole lot of people in this world don't agree with you. You'll have every rat coming out of every corner attacking you. I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing how the truth of the Word of God brings out so many enemies. I'll never forget preaching a funeral one time, and some people asked me if I would preach a funeral and so forth, and I preached a funeral, and I made this one black guy so mad at the end of that service, he came directly to me, and he said, I didn't like your message. I said, well, what do you mean? He said, well, you preached that once saved, always saved. And, I mean, to be honest with you, me and him, we had a pretty good argument right there in the funeral home before we left that day. And I left with a smile on my face, and as he walked away, I said, once saved, always saved. You can't even preach a message of salvation without making somebody mad today. Oh, my soul, this morning. I mean, we talked this morning. Well, let me move on here. So God, chapter 58, verse number 1, I think verse number 1, I don't like to say it's maybe the most important verse, it's not, because all verses are equally important in a chapter, but verse number 1, it's going to set the whole chapter up. Isaiah, it's important that you understand this. I want you to cry aloud, or cry aloud, he says in verse number 1. He said, spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet. Now, the half of this verse here is telling Isaiah, here's how I want you to deliver the message. I don't know. I read verse number 1, and I don't think he went to his study trying to say, you know, how can I create this message in a way that won't offend someone? I don't think Isaiah left and went to his study that day and said, you know, how can I come up with a few jokes and a good laughable illustration here or there to kind of smooth this thing over a little bit? Because, man, the message of God, it's like a tidal wave coming in. He's not trying to make it just a little bit of a ripple when God wants it to be a tidal wave. And praise God, be to God this morning that Isaiah, you know what he's going to do? He's going to deliver it just the way God wants it delivered. You know what Isaiah's going to do? Isaiah, he's a little shallow here. You know what he's going to do? He's going to cry aloud. Isaiah is going to spare not. He's going to shake a whole lot of people up. I don't know. I think sometimes, and I understand that the ministry is one of them. I don't know of a more difficult situation in life than when it comes to leading people in a church, whether it be the pastor or staff member or just anybody involved in church. Because what's difficult about the ministry? People. We don't want to make anybody mad. I mean, good night. Nobody wants people hating us, and nobody wants to be hated this morning, and nobody wants to be disliked. We all want to be liked. We all want to get along. We want everybody to be happy. But I'm here to tell you this morning, it ain't going to happen. And he tells Isaiah, now there's this message is twofold. He tells him how he wants it delivered in verse number 1 in the first half. And he says, I want you to show my people, I want you to show them their transgression. Now that's not fun to be a messenger and have to go show them their transgressions. Not only that, he says, you got to show them their sins. You've got to reveal them. You've got to show them who they really are. And people don't want to be told who they really are. I'll be honest with you. The average person goes to church this morning and hope he lies to them. Oh, you're so good. And you're let's be honest. Most time we're not good. Are y'all okay with that? Let's be honest. We're not always good. Well, I didn't get much out of that. We move on. That doesn't go over too good. He said, I want you to expose them for who they really are. You know who they really are? They're rebellious, ungodly, distorted the worship of God. And God says, he draws a line here. Cry loud like a trumpet. And you don't spare anything. And you let it rip, so to speak. That's the way we say it in the South. You just let it rip. There's a whole lot of ripping that needs to take place, too, by the way, in this world we live in, I tell you. To show them their transgression. To show them their sins. And that's the root of the whole problem right there. S-I-N. Sin. Do you know what the problem of today is? Isaiah's been dead a long, long time. You know what's wrong in society today? Same thing, S-I-N, sin. And by the way, may I remind you, we're not talking about the outside, we're talking about those on the inside. Do you know what the number one problem in churches is today? Does anybody want to know? Anybody know what it is? It's S-I-N. And people committed. You know what the number one problem in the church you're sitting in this morning? It's S-I-N. And I'm not talking about the guy on the other pew either. I'm talking about my own life. I've always said it this way. The church was perfect until that door opened and somebody put a foot inside. Because we're sinful people. It's no different than in Isaiah's day. We still have a problem. And it's S-I-N. Well, we don't have time to read all the chapter. Wow. You'll find that as you go down through the chapter here, and I've got to kind of, you'll have to read these three chapters for yourself, but you're going to find out, you know what? The people did not want to hear the message of truth. Shocking, isn't it? They wanted to hear a message that, as the Bible describes it, that tickles their ear. You remember that in the Bible, right? We live in a day and age, dear friend, where people just want their ears tickled. You know, I've said this a million times, and I still believe it to be true, and I thank God for everybody that does teach and preach truth, but I'm tired, and I don't even watch religious broadcast on television, but I'm so sick and tired of hearing the teaching ministry of so-and-so. I want somebody to just get up there and say the preaching ministry of so-and-so. There's nothing wrong with teaching, but there's sometimes where we need to get past teaching and we just need to get down where it's a cry loud and spare not and just some old-fashioned rip-roaring preaching. But their worship was completely wrong and it displeased God greatly. And this message is very fitting. I was on the telephone last night, and my wife and daughter probably know who I was speaking with last night. And it was about it's another church in the state of Kentucky, but they have some major problems. And they're at a crossroads. They're trying to decide, and there's a debate inside the church of whether they're going to go contemporary or stay traditional. And it's kind of tearing the church apart and has for a few years now. There's part of the church that believes that we need to stay true the way we've always been and more of a traditional style of a church and traditional style of worship, but yet there's the other half that says we better change now and go to the contemporary type style or we're going to lose this church. And they're at a crossroads on what do we do. Now, me personally, it's not even up for debate with me. But I do understand maybe a congregation of people that are concerned about the future. I've got news for you. I'm deeply concerned about the future. And then I think they've had some meetings and so forth, and one group says, we better change to this style of worship and become a little bit more like another church in their community, and it's called, I think, His House. And that was they used that other church in their community as the example of what they need to be. Now, the church we're talking about is a Baptist church, but if you go to that style, I doubt Baptists will be there much longer. And people are very confused today. I don't know if there's not a church in this United States of America that loves God that doesn't have a desire to want to grow. Am I right? I think we all would like to do that. Am I correct? And I'm all for it. But I think it's got to be done God's way. You know, I believe this, Brother Richardson. I honestly believe this morning the faith of a lot of Christians in a lot of churches today is being tested. And you're going to have to make a choice. People today are worried. People today are concerned about their congregation. People are worried, and some will look down the road and say, well, so-and-so church, it's growing, it's gotten big, so maybe we need to be like them. That's what everybody's doing, dear friend. I mean, where in God's name Do we get to the point where we're looking at other people and saying, let's do what they do so we can be like them? Whatever happened to saying, you know what I think we need to do? We need to get on our knees in prayer, and we need to find out what does God want us to be, and let's just be what God wants us to be. All this garbage today, and it is strictly garbage. So-called praise and worship services. And boy, that's the highlight of their advertisement and so forth. And it's nothing more than a sensual, worldly rock concert. And that's what they're building their ministry on. And people are flocking to it. So they must be doing something right. Right? May I remind you, in the book of Isaiah, didn't he tell you the blessed ones, the ones that come out of this deal on the top side, is a very small remnant? It's not a big, large crowd. You see, if you want the big, large crowd, you're going to have to go with the ones that God's very upset with. And may I say this morning, worship that's taking place today may make God madder than anything else that's taking place all week. And there's been a whole lot of ungodly things happen this week, no doubt. And I don't know the heart and the mind of God. I only know what I find in the Word of God. But I just can't see God just extremely happy this morning when he looks down to the church houses. And I use the word church house, and I'm including all the ones that I would say are even false. How far are the people of God willing to go to try to grow? And I would say this morning, they will go to any length and almost do anything to draw a crowd. And they walk out in society and they think they're the cat's meow. We're the biggest church. I've got the largest congregation. I've got more money coming through the offering plates of this church than I can shake a stick at. My salary is astronomical. And they use all those standards or guidelines to justify why they do what they do. And I honestly believe this morning that God looks down from heaven and he wants to just throw up. You'll find in Isaiah's day that they flooded the nation with false religion. And to be honest with you, I think our land this morning is flooded with false religion. Not many churches are worried about preaching the truth of the Word of God anymore. They're just worried about the crowd, the size, the music. And I like good music. Music, I think, is an important factor. But music is not a substitute for the preaching of the Word of God. Most important thing that ever happens in a church is the preaching of the Word of God. Amen. People say, well, why do you go to, you ask people something, why do you go to church at such and such church? Well, they got a great children's program. And I'm all for children's program. Oh, they got a great this, and they got a great that, great music, blah, blah, blah. Very, 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 very few times does anybody say because they have the best preaching around. People not interested in preaching. People are just interested in entertainment. We are an entertained world. We all want entertainment. We want to be entertained. And God says, this is what has just made me completely sick to the point that Isaiah, I want you to go out there in verse number one. I want you to cry aloud. I don't want you to spare anything when you cry aloud. I want you to lift up your voice. In fact, I want your voice so loud it sounds like a trumpet. And I want you to show them their transgression. I want you to show them their sins. And as you get down through the chapter, you'll find that that fasting is talked about, how they even abuse fasting to their own advantage to make them look good in front of others. They distorted every avenue of worship and what it was and what it should have been. They distorted it to fit their sinful lifestyle. And the greatest need in our day and age is just the simple preaching of the truth of the Word of God. Because when truth is cast aside, I promise you, sin finds its way in and it will completely destroy everything else that was good at one time. Our time's up. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. We pray that you help us, Lord, to hold true to the truth of the Word of God, stay faithful to the truth of the Word of God. When it's not easy, when it's difficult, when everybody else goes a different direction and tries this different attitude in a different way, Lord, may we just stay true to what you say. And God, help us to be faithful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.